The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after the other, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And a little thought for you now for Wednesday of Holy Week. The suffering and death of our Lord did not take place without human weakness and consent of every sort. It's on this day, of course, especially that we focus on the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, who traded our Lord over to the Jewish authorities for 30 pieces of silver, which, as you know, is not a lot of money. He traded his soul for a month's wages, sort of reminiscent of Esau in the book of Genesis, who exchanged his birthright for a piece of bread and a bowl of lentil soup. And yet that's the paradigm and the pattern for every sin, turning our Lord over for cheap gain and saying to him, "I love this more than I love you." But Judas did not act alone. Consider for a moment the betrayal of the scribes and the chief priests of the people. Our Lord had said of them, they've taken their place on the chair of Moses, therefore do whatever they tell you to do. And it was the chief priest Caiaphas who said to the assembled crowd, "You fools, can you not see that it is more expedient that one man should die for the people?" And once again, turning our Lord over for cheap gain, they betray the God of Israel. Consider for a moment the betrayal of Pontius Pilate, who symbolically washed his hands and absolved himself of the whole affair. He proudly said to our Lord, "Don't you realize that I have power to hand you over and power to set you free?" And our Lord had said of him, "You would have no power over me whatsoever were it not handed to you from above." And that's why Pontius Pilate, who had been given power as a minister of justice, did not absolve himself but condemned himself in misusing his own authority and taking the path of least resistance. And lastly, consider for a moment the betrayal of the 12 apostles. They did nothing at all except run away at our Lord's hour of deepest need. Theirs was not a sin of commission, but rather a sin of omission. Guilty not for what they'd done, but for what they'd failed to do. Every kind of sin, every kind of weakness, it all conspired to our Lord's suffering and death. And yet, there's a fact little noted, that it was on Wednesday of Holy Week that the chief priests gathered together and said that they would seek our Lord's death, but that they must not do it during the Passover festival for fear that they'll cause a riot among the people. And yet, according to all the synoptic gospels, during the Passover festival is precisely when it did happen. Because our Lord said, "Nobody takes my life away from me. I lay it down freely." In spite of all their plans, in spite of all their machinations, in spite of every sin and every weakness, God is in control. Which is a little thought to bring with you now as we enter into the sacred Triduum. At the hour of our death, nobody's going to claim innocence. At that hour, we are all going to be guilty of every kind of sin and weakness. Those of omission, those of commission, those of weakness, and those of scheming and deep calculation. And yet in all of it, Christ reigns and offers his grace and his mercy to those who least deserve it. And as we enter into this sacred Triduum now, let us call upon that grace and mercy. Let his blood be upon us in abundance, as we say. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Amen.